Okay, I'm Blake Maxby. I'm with the Nebraska Department of Environmental Quality, and today I'm talking about voltylation losses from sprinkler applied nitrogen. As we know, agriculture is our number one industry in this state, and besides producing millions of animals and billions of pounds of red meat and other animal products, we also produce a lot of livestock waste. If only it was this cute. So as we produce a lot of livestock waste, many of us in this room probably have some sort of livestock waste control facility, and part of that is finding a way to use or dispose of our livestock waste. Now in Nebraska, as there are lots of nutrients available in this waste, they make a great fertilizer addition for our crops. Today we're going to focus specifically on liquid waste, and so there are several application techniques that we can use for this. We've got sprinkler irrigation, gravity irrigation, micro irrigation, and surface spreading. In Nebraska, we have over 8.5 million acres that utilize irrigation, and a majority of these use some form of sprinkler irrigation. These include things like pivots, K-lines, traveling guns, stationary guns. So that's what we're going to focus on today is sprinkler irrigation. Here's an example of what we would find kind of in, this is from a feedlot. And you can see that the organic nitrogen and the ammonia make up the majority of the nitrogen content for our effluent. So we're going to focus on the ammonium as that's the actual plant available form. So in our pond, we've got ammonium, which is our plant available, so I've highlighted that in green. And we also have our white, which is dissolved ammonia gas. And the ammonia is not plant available. So we have it in our pond, which means we also have it in the droplets that we have when we irrigate. We also have it as part of our, because part of our soil surface after we irrigate. And ammonia gas, which is the white, it has an equilibrium in our liquid and also with the natural ammonia in the atmosphere. So as this liquid is exposed to the atmosphere, we see that this ammonia can be emitted to the atmosphere if our concentration in the atmosphere is low, and this is what we call volatilization. This can occur during application as well as following application. And so you're thinking this isn't a big deal because it's ammonia gas and this isn't plant available. The problem is that ammonia and ammonium in solution also have an equilibrium. And so as we lose ammonia to the atmosphere, we have ammonium converted to ammonia, and now this is also available for volatilization. So this is largely a chemically driven process, and there are several environmental factors that can contribute to this. These include soil factors such as pH, temperature, texture, and water content, and weather factors such as wind speed, humidity, and atmospheric temperature. So we're going to do kind of a comparison as to which factors increase volatilization. So looking at the first two, we've got acidic soil, which is a low pH, and an alkaline soil, which is a higher pH. So does anybody have a guess as to which one is going to have the greater volatilization? I know we just had lunch. Don't wake up. Anyway, just pick one. Educated guess. The higher pH. That would be correct. This is, again, due to the chemistry of soils. Higher pH soils may drive the conversion of that ammonium, our plant available form, to ammonia gas, compared to acidic soils where we have ammonia gas that's driven to the conversion of our plant available form. So for fine soils and coarse soils, our coarse soils tend to have a higher rate of volatilization. Again, due to the chemistry of soils, soils are generally negatively charged, and as we saw before, our ammonium is positively charged, so it tends to stick to our soils. The problem with sandier soils, coarse soils, is that they don't have as strong of a negative charge and they can't hold on to that ammonium, which makes it available for volatilization. For drier soils and wet soils, our wet soils tend to have a higher rate of volatilization. Generally, after we apply, we see the greatest rates of volatilization within the first 6 hours, and this is due to our effluent having to penetrate the soil surface and become part of the soil solution. And this is the same concept with wet soils. Wet soils already have some water or effluent, and so they're not able to hold as much, and also the penetration into the soil surface is going to take a longer amount of time. And the longer it's exposed to the atmosphere, the longer it can be available for volatilization. As far as high temperatures, and high wind speeds and low humidity, these tend to contribute to drying conditions. And the drying conditions, they will end up with a higher concentration of ammonia in our effluent compared to our atmosphere. And again, that's going to drive bubble flotation. So how much do we lose when we sprinkle or apply? Currently, the university recommends that we lose 50% if we apply during the crop growing state, during the crop growing season or the side dress application. And if we do it pre-plant, then we assume that we lose all of our ammonia. It's been questioned as to if maybe we need to update this. And so that led to my research in 2012, where we sprinkler-applied beef feedlot effluent to several sites. We looked at different weather conditions, different soil types, and also using different concentrations of ammonium in our effluent. And so here we just kind of have a setup of what we did in my experiment. In 2012, it was really dry, so we didn't have a lot of effluent in our holding pond, so we couldn't utilize a full pivot. So we made do with our own kind of sprinkler system. And then we used gas chambers to collect the emissions from our soil surface and analyze those then back in the lab. And from my study, we did see what I previously talked about, things like higher temperatures contributing to greater volatilization. But we also saw losses to be a lot less compared to what the current recommendation is. And we found my losses to be closer to 10% compared to 50%. So this is kind of driving the university to look at possibly changing our recommendation. So again, this is just kind of the recap of things that contribute to volatilization. That doesn't mean that we don't have volatilization from acidic soils. It just means that we have a greater likelihood from alkaline soils. And obviously there's a range of conditions between a low temp and a high temp, and there are any specific studies that designate which temperature and which humidity result in the greatest losses. So it's just kind of a comparison. But it gets you to think about before you go out and apply and maybe look at the week ahead to see what the weather's gonna be like so that you can optimize, get the most from your nitrogen and lose the least amount of volatilization. The top NEB guide there is where you can find the recommendation for that 50%. Also where you can find recommendations for organic nitrogen availability and depending on your application technique as well, or you can look at the UNL manure website. So with that, that's the end of my presentation. And so I thank you. If anybody has any questions.
Yes, you did your
We did not do tissue tests. Well, you can see soybeans there, but where we actually pulled samples was from bare soil. So we just looked at emissions from the bare soil surface.
And you actually compare what
drop No. Because of the way we measured it with those chambers, the plants tend to throw off that, so we had to remove the plant material from our space.
Any other questions?
Why did you remove the plant?
Right, but because of the chamber systems we use, the plants inside of the chamber affect, because your plants can, well, especially in the case of soybeans, you have they're pulling nitrogen, and so we can't have that inside of the chamber. It affects how much we actually lose from the soil surface.
So
would
you consider the real world?
Well, yes, because you're not always going to apply when you have a crop available. If you follow apply and you think that you're not going to have any nitrogen left, but it turns out you have 90% of that nitrogen left, that's going to be a big deal.
Would you say that it would be better to have some kind of model with those factors that you listed as compared to using one number for every situation?
Yes, something to that effect would be better to have that you could plug in, these are kind of my conditions and produce a better, very, produce a better factor for calculation.
Is anyone actually working on that model now?
Not that I know of, unless you know something that I don't know.
Well, I don't know if anyone is here in Nebraska. There are some models that do that from other places.
We were talking about whether there is an actual model that would take take these factors into consideration so you'd have more of a site-specific loss factor. And there are scientists who have worked on this. I know there's one model out of California, but I don't know if anybody in Nebraska has used, has taken that model and calibrated. There are other ways to calculate the end loss that are more micrometeorological. They take a lot more surface area and they're very expensive. So I don't know if anyone has. I don't know, Jenny, if you know of anyone who's doing any of this work or whether they're doing it at MARC, but it would be something worth doing. It just, we haven't collected enough data. What Blythe did for her master's was a first step, and it does call into question that 50% that we do use. I know you were telling me you thought it was different than 50%, but you thought it was more than 50%, not less than 50%. Yeah, these factors are very important. We just don't have a sheet for going through that, although I think Charlie Wardman is working on a nitrogen loss spreadsheet that we've looked at other nitrogen losses. I don't know if we've actually included, is Michael here? Michael Van Loo, he's not in here. I know he's here today. He's done some of the work. Where's Michael, is he here? Well, he's around, he's a modeler who's worked with Dr. Wardman, and he's looked at trying to quantify this for fertilizer applications, but I don't believe he has effluent in that model. Are you aware of any?
No.
Okay, so we may not have that as far along. But if you do actually, you can find some models. There's a guy from Canada on the West Coast who has one. And I think Europe has a few. It's just we can't really say how well they work in Nebraska.